The famous German author and poet and philosopher Goethe, and he called it an idyllic, next slide, an idyllic book. And he said, you know, it's a nice book, an idyllic story and a nice book. And Goethe's comments on the Book of Ruth have really influenced many later commentators who see it as this kind of story with a feel-good factor, yeah, a story that moves from the worst of times and ends with the best of times. When we read the Bible, we often, or usually ask ourselves, well, what is the application? What is the message for us? Is there a lesson that we can learn? Is there something that we can then apply to our lives? And in the Book of Ruth, there is no such application, not as sort of direct as, say, for example, in the letters of Paul. Next slide, please. What's the author's intention with the whole four chapters of Ruth is to lead the reader to thankfulness and amazement. It's a story, and I'll explain this a little bit later, where we, yeah, when we have read it, should stop in wonder and awe and actually then come into prayer. That's the sort of way how the Book of Ruth is conceived. There are, however, two key themes, and that's on the next slide. Very strong theme, and maybe the most important one is the theme of inclusion, but also there in the book is the theme of loving kindness, of righteousness, chesed, as it's called in Hebrew. Well, let's see how all this unfolds here. The Book of Ruth, as I said, starts with the worst of times and it ends with the best of times. It begins with the worst of times, yeah, the famine that forces Elimelech and his family to leave Bethlehem. Yeah, they are what in modern speak would be called economic migrants, and that's maybe how they would have looked like in modern times, yeah? Like so many people who are looking for a better life, for more opportunity, for, yeah, better fulfillment of their physical needs. Yeah, Naomi and Elimelech and their two sons leave Bethlehem and they settle in the country of Moab. And their new life seems to work out. They seem to settle and to integrate into the country of their choice. And the successful integration is evidenced by the fact that their two sons, and that's on the next slide, yeah, actually marry local women. Yeah, and it's always seen, I mean, nowadays, you know, how do you judge whether immigrants are actually integrated into their new country? Well, one of the pieces is always said, well, if the immigrants marry local people, that's then the sign that you are successfully integrated into your new country. And that's what happened to Naomi and her family. Yeah, they seem to be fully integrated. And if things had continued to go as probably Naomi and Elimelech had thought they would go, they might, for all we know, have remained in Moab for, yeah, forever, for all their next generations. But things begin to go wrong. Naomi's husband dies, Elimelech, well, maybe not that unexpected, obviously still a shock, but after all, he must have been a slightly older man. But what really showed that things were not developing well was when her two sons also die before they had a chance to actually start a family with the wives they had chosen. So suddenly, things have gone really bad for Naomi, and she's really at her lowest point. She's now all alone in a foreign country, and a widow, and without her sons as well. It must be the worst thing that can happen to a parent, to see their children die well before them. So Naomi then decides to go back to Bethlehem, to her hometown. Maybe in the time of sadness and need, homesickness set in, and she felt, maybe the best to do is to return. But what a return. I mean, I can only imagine, how she might have felt here, and how sad, and what a low point in her life. There was the hopeful emigre, the one who wanted to make a better life, now returning and coming back. And in a sort of modern setting, Naomi and Ruth, destitute, coming back into their hometown with nothing. Really the worst of times possible. And I can also imagine, and it's not in the book, but I can imagine maybe the gossip of the locals, the people of Bethlehem, who might sort of talk about behind her back about Naomi, saying, oh, look at her, there she left with her husband, 20 years ago or 18 years ago, full of hope, thinking they would have a better life, and look at her now, nothing. She should have stayed like the rest of us, and maybe things would have worked out better for her. But things start to look up gradually for Naomi and also for her daughter-in-law Ruth. And the reason why things start to look up is this righteousness, loving kindness, the idea of chesed, social justice, which is practiced by Boaz. And it's on the next slide. Remember from the second chapter of the book, Boaz allowing her to glean in the fields. This loving kindness, this righteousness, is something that is part of Old Testament law. There are all sorts of little regulations put in that enable those who are at the edges, at the margins of society, to still have a chance. And Boaz practices this, not in the form of legalism, but he actually puts in kindness, real benevolence. If you think about it, a legalist, like many generations later, the Pharisees, and in Jesus' time, a legalist does what the letter of the law requires. They will fulfill the commandments just as they are written, keeping to the letter. But that's not loving kindness. That's not righteousness. The righteous person enters into the spirit of the law and looks what is behind the greater concept. And the concept here is that you're meant to be benevolent and concerned for the outsider, that you're meant to show kindness towards the strangers. And Boaz does this to a very, very large extent. He goes well beyond the letter of the law and really enters into the spirit. And that is where things begin to really look up for Naomi and Ruth. And that's also where this strong theme, the real theme of the book, inclusion, comes through. We see that Ruth is included and accepted into Israel, into the community. Remember, it's mentioned often enough in the book of Ruth that Ruth is a Moabite woman. So what, you might think? Yeah, well, the Moabites, together with the Ammonites, are mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 23. And listen to this. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even in the tenth generation. Now this is a pretty strong statement, yeah? The Moabites are meant to be excluded. And perhaps that is the real reason why the other relative, the anonymous kinsman redeemer, decides not to buy the field when he finds out that Ruth is part of the bargain. Yeah? After all, he rejects Ruth maybe because of her background, and he clings maybe to a very literal reading of the text and then tries to make up some sort of excuse which doesn't really hold water. Yeah, but Boaz is different. He has already included Ruth and treated her like any of the Israelite women. And this spirit of inclusion is then also echoed in the approval of the elders, as we can see in verse 11. Yeah, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. Yeah, Leah and Rachel, yeah, the two wives of Jacob, are the maternal ancestors of Israel. And Ruth is now put on the same level. She is added into this list of accepted and famous women. No longer the excluded stranger, but now she is included as equal. And for Naomi, this really is now the final step from the bad times to the best of times. And later, when her grandson is born, Naomi, the grandmother, is treated as if the baby boy is her own direct child. Now, the woman living there said, Naomi has a son. So through inclusion and acceptance, through loving kindness, things turn from bad to good for Naomi. And the whole story ends well, and there is sort of an upbeat, feel-good factor at the end here. And that would be nice enough in itself. But there is more to this. Just like a pebble, yeah, it falls into a pond and it causes ripples, yeah, that move on and become more and more. There is a sort of ripple effect from this story. Obed, the baby son of Ruth, eventually becomes the father of Jesse. And Jesse in turn is the father of David. King David, one of the more successful kings of Israel, whose kingdom was promised to be without end. So there is a further effect, yeah, that ripples on. And you might have wondered why I had chosen Matthew chapter 1 as the gospel reading. It's a bit unusual to have this lengthy genealogy, and apologies for all those different names, difficult names to pronounce and read, which was masterfully done and well read. Yeah, well, because King David, in turn, yeah, is the ancestor of Jesus, or Jesus comes out of the line of David. And in the reading from Matthew chapter 1, we can see the whole genealogy. And the story of Ruth fits like a puzzle piece into this list of descendants or ancestors. And that's where I said, you know, this theme, yeah, the intention, yeah, the Book of Ruth making us look in amazement and wonder at God's providence. Not just how he provided for the two women, Naomi and Ruth, but also to see how God's story unfolds, how everything fits together like the pieces in a puzzle, finally leading right up to Jesus. Yeah, and the gift of grace, yeah, that is offered to all, that we are all included and can come to Christ and receive salvation, redemption. Yeah, that's prepared in the Book of Ruth. And I think, yeah, wow, isn't it wonderful to see how it all fits together and how it all builds up. And the reading from Ephesians reminds us about the idea of inclusion. Most of us, maybe all of us, would be counted as Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who until Jesus, until the time of Jesus, were excluded from the people of God. But now, we all, no matter who we are included, can turn to Christ and accept the salvation, accept the grace offered to us. And we can look at our own inclusion and thank and praise God that he does not exclude, but he calls all, even us, to follow him. And maybe we may feel inspired to remember our bad times when we were far from God, and we can now rejoice about the good time when we are included in God's family. Now, this is the great news, yeah, that we can be part of God's family, that we are justified by faith through Jesus. And those who at the moment may see themselves as being outside of God's family, maybe you feel encouraged to make the next step and accept the offer of inclusion and turn to Christ. All are welcome, no matter who and what. Amen.